Thank you, Brother Hector. I feel like we've been blessed on Friend Day to have some of our friends back with us. Amen. And preacher preaching this morning was a blessing. And again, tonight, Lord, just work it all out for our Pass It On campaign. Today was Friend Day. Had a lot of people bring friends and family with them. And so I want to encourage you to do that next week. All right. Next week is Team Week. We made mention of it, but again, we're going to encourage you to bring some folks that maybe are on your team. Maybe that could be your work team. Maybe you're in your, for me, I'm going to invite those folks in my development that I live in, try to get them to come in and be on my team and sit and pack my pew out with me. But again, the person bringing the most visitors next week above five and packing their pew will not only get a Schofield Bible like we had this morning, it's a large print Schofield Bible that will be preached out of next Sunday morning, but then you will, every one of your visitors will get a Schofield Bible if you have the most visitors. Now, we're not going to give every visitor a Schofield Bible, all right? Tell your visitors that they have a chance that if you have the most visitors that they'll get a Schofield Bible, but everybody will get something off the back table for next week. And then if you can't get them for next week, invite them for Roundup Sunday to come and be with our sheriff. That'll be the next one behind it. It's got a big campaign, great opportunity to get folks to come to church. Amen. Don't forget, there's tracks over here on our campaign table, a lot of tracks that are oriented to that. Give them every week, and on the back is the Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, service times, and directions to the Landmark Baptist Church. Amen. And so, tonight, my friend Chad Stanley has come to be with us down here, and many of you have heard someone mention tonight, my brother, the infamous, Brother Chad is what they call it, because in my Sunday school class, we talk about you, and we also talk about Chad's dad when we pray for him. We don't really call him Jennifer's dad. We call him Chad's dad, and so that's Brother Ed Stanley, and so Brother Chad and I went to Bible college here. Many of you know him and have heard him preach many times, and so it's old hat, but a lot of folks have come as of late. Maybe you don't know who Brother Chad is. He is a graduate of our college. He's the pastor of Countryside Baptist Church in Waycross, Georgia. He is my close friend. I would say, as far as a pastor and a man that is in the work of God, he is my best friend in this life outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is my pleasure to have him tonight. And I wish he'd come and preach to us and tell us how he's related to Charles Stanley.
He started something. This is a first for me, just as it's a first for some of you with me. But this is the first time that I've had the privilege to preach for my dear friend, Pastor Parsley. You started it. Amen. I could tell, now that you're a pastor in the great Landmark Baptist Church, I probably should have told Preacher this story before they voted on you. As we were in college, we were soul winning partners. Every Thursday night, whenever we went out soul winning, him and I were together, my wife always said, I spent more time with Brother Parsons than I did with her. And that was because I went to school with him, went to work with him, went soul winning with him. Probably should have went to jail with him, but we didn't get caught. But I've got a soul winning story, but I won't dare tell it in the pulpit, though. Amen. And it is good to be here, though. Take your Bibles tonight. Find with me, if you would, the book of 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, if you will. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Good to be back at Landmark Baptist Church. And Pastor Carter, Brother Carter, Dr. Carter, Preacher, amen. We have a bookcase. You've seen it being in our place. We have a bookcase in our hallway of our foyer and different books, Bibles, different things available. And some of the books that are in there are Preacher's book on things that are different, aren't the same. Trophy of Grace, His Hand is Real. And on, I think it's Trophy of Grace, your picture's on the front of the book. And Olivia, 3 years old, she's Daddy's princess. And being friends, I didn't know today was going to be Friends Sunday, and but I got thinking about this. Every time she walks by the bookcase, don't matter who's looking at it, if whether I'm there or I'm not there, she'll look and she'll point out to it, and she points, I believe it's Trophy of Grace, she points to that book, and she says, that's my daddy's friend. That's my daddy's friend. And I said, who is it? She said, your friend. I said, is that preacher? She said, that's preacher. And that's always precious to me. Amen. I'm glad that Dr. Carter is not only my hero, but I'm glad that I can consider him to be my friend as well. And he and Miss Carter, and of course, the Parsons. Amen. And we love the Parsons. I hope you love them. It may take a while, amen. There's some we love more than others, but anyhow, amen. We put up with the other ones, but anyhow, it is good to be at church tonight, amen. The only thing better than being at church on Sunday morning is coming back and being back on Sunday night, amen. I love Sunday night church. Sunday night is probably my favorite. I tell our people all the time, it is my favorite service. And I like them all, but there's something special about Sunday night to me. It's kind of like family night, amen. You've been there in the morning, and everybody's serving in different areas, junior church, bus routes, nurseries, and just all the different things. And Sunday night's kind of a time when everybody can come together and spend time together. And so I enjoy Sunday night church, amen. And I want to read just two verses for tonight. And being kind of what I'd consider to be family night, I understand that we may have some visitors or returning visitors back with us. But I want to preach to the saved, and there'll be enough truth for the lost as well, and that you could get saved. But in verse number 8, I want you to look with me, verse number 8, 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. The Bible says we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. I think about that passage of scripture. I was asked to fly down to Mexico back in July, the last week of July, and preach in a pastor's conference. Normally there would be 200 pastors that would come, national pastors would come to that meeting, but because of COVID, it was about half of that. But we still had 100 pastors, about 100 pastors and their wives, children. Many of them brought church folk with them. And it was amazing during the midst of pandemic down there. Matter of fact, it was illegal. Our missionary, Brother Williams, told me, he said, now, preacher, he said, if the police show up, we don't know what's going to happen because what we're doing is illegal. He said, we're not supposed to have over, I think it was 6 people in the building at a time. But he said, I just feel like we need it. I believe God's people need encouraged. The preachers need encouraged. And so we're going to do it, and we'll just trust God, whatever happens. But he called me a couple months before, and he said, here's the theme for the conference. And this passage of scripture was the verses they used for their theme. And he told me, he said, now I'm not telling you that you have to preach on those verses, but he just said, I want you to know the pastors will be preaching in the morning. You'll close out the morning services, then you'll come back and preach every evening. But during that conference, God spoke to my heart, and I didn't even prepare to preach out of this passage during the conference. But in the midst of that conference, God began to speak to my heart and encourage my heart. And understand this, there's a lot of people that are discouraged today. There's many of God's men that are discouraged. There's many of God's servants that are discouraged. I think about the Sunday school campaign that you're in right now. This could be a very discouraging time to try to have a fall campaign. You just don't know what's going to happen. You don't know how people's going to respond. And you go out on visitation. If it's anything here like it is at home, you don't know if people's going to talk to you, if they're going to be upset at you because you're at your door. Around home, I don't know to shake hands, to hug them. You don't know what to do because you don't know how they're going to respond. And it can be very, very discouraging. But nonetheless, not only amongst preachers and servants. I think about Sunday school teachers and junior church workers and bus workers. It can be a very, very discouraging time. Amen. And the Apostle Paul is writing to us under inspiration. And let's look at these two verses again. Then we're going to pray, and I'm going to jump in the message and try to preach quick tonight because I understand that I want to get out of the way and see what in the world Dr. Pitts is going to do this evening. Amen. And you never know what that guy's going to do, so I want to see that. Amen. But let's look at these two verses again, verse 8 and 9, then we're going to pray. Verse number 8, we're troubled on every side. Sounds just like our day, doesn't it? Troubled on every side, but notice the Bible says, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. Let's pray. Father, I ask you to help me tonight as I try to preach. Father, I pray that you would use me. God, I want to be emptied of self, and I want to be full of, Lord, your spirit. I want to be full of your power, God. I pray that you would use me. Speak through me, I pray. Lord, I just don't want to fill time in a service, but God, Lord, we need you to speak to our hearts, Father. I need you to do a work that only you can do. And so, Lord, tonight I want to yield myself to you and ask you, would you use me? God, I pray that you'd open our hearts and our minds. And God, for the next little while, help us to set aside the cares and the thoughts of life, the things that, Lord, that we're concerned about and are heavy on our hearts, dear God, even as we face this new week. I pray for the next little while you'd have our undivided attention, Father, that you would speak to us, Lord, and just do a mighty work here amongst your people in your house tonight. And Father, I pray that if there be somebody in this service tonight that's lost, Father, I pray they'd get saved. What a blessing it is to hear about people being saved every day this week. I pray, Lord, you'd do it again tonight. Lord, I pray that, Father, your will would be done in this service in each one of our hearts and lives. Help us to be, Lord, sensitive to the lead in the Spirit. I pray that you'd help us to be tender. Help us to be pliable, dear God, to make whatever decisions that we need to make for your honor and your glory. And we'll praise you for what you do. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I'm titling the message tonight, Knocked Down But Not Knocked Out. Knocked down but not knocked out. You'll notice in the passage of Scripture, the Bible says we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. The Bible says we're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're cast down, but not destroyed. Tonight you may have come to church and you feel like you've been knocked down. I got news for you. You're in good company this evening. Amen. Because there's many of God's people that come to church on a Sunday night like this and feel like you've just been knocked down. I don't know. Maybe today you had a lot of people lined up to come to church to be your visitor for the campaign. And you were excited all week. You had all kind of promises and commitments. And you thought, man, I'm going to have a great day. My pew's going to be full. I'm going to get the Bible. And I'm going to have the most visitors. I mean, everybody has told me I'm going to be your guest. I'm going to come to church. And all of a sudden 10 o'clock rolls around and you couldn't find any of them. Amen. With the CIA and the FBI. Amen. I mean, they're nowhere to be found. And you thought, well, maybe at 10 o'clock they'll come in. 10 o'clock, or 11 o'clock. 11 o'clock come and your pew's still empty. They didn't come. Nobody showed up. And all afternoon you wondered, where in the world are them people at? They committed. They told me. They promised. They said they'd come, but they're not here. And so maybe tonight as you were sitting there contemplating coming back to church on Sunday night, maybe the devil told you, you may as well just stay home. Man, you're just nothing but a fool. I mean, just look, people told you they cared about you. People told you that they'd be your friend, they'd be your guest. But look, they have forsaken you. They've left you. They didn't care about you. And you know what? Everybody's forsaken you and nobody cares about you. Can I tell you, that's the lie of the devil. Amen. And you may feel knocked down tonight, but praise God, you're not knocked out. Amen. I want to preach tonight, and I want to be use some illustrations, if I may, and I'm going to look for some help from some of you this evening, if I may. And I need a couple of young men to help me. And Hayden told me, Hayden hates it when I preach because he says, Dad, you always use me. You always use your kids for illustrations. Can you never preach without using us? The answer to that is no. You make it so easy. Amen. Hayden, come up here and help me and sit on this front pew, if you will. And Andrew, I'm going to use you as well, Andrew. You didn't like it either, but you helped me anyway. And you're on the World Wide Web. Y'all going to be, I mean, you're going to be popular across the globe tonight. Amen. And I'm going to use them in here in just a moment. And then, Brother James, I'm going to use your boys as well, the oldest boys here in just a few minutes. And if you boys come down here and sit on the front row, and that'll help us to be ready. And I just want to give a disclaimer. I'm not reliable for anything that gets broke tonight. Anything that gets tore up. If somebody tears the goalpost down, it's not my fault. By the way, I was looking at that and I was thinking, you know, in our days when we were here, if we screwed in that, put screws in that, preacher'd kill us. You've gone liberal, amen. Put screws in the wall. I mean, preacher would have been angry about that. You did what? Good night, amen. And so if things get tore up, it's not my fault, all right? Still going to be my friend? Amen. Look at verse number 8, if you will. Verse number 8. The Bible says we're troubled on every side. We're troubled on every side. But the Bible says there in the verse, yet not distressed. All of us face trouble. Trouble is just something that happens, and no matter how much you try to avoid it, there's times that trouble just seems to find you, amen? And trouble in every kind, but even spiritually, it's easy to get in trouble. It's easy to feel like everybody's out to get you, and everybody's forsaken you, and everything is piled up on top of you. But notice the Bible says, though we are troubled on every side, the Bible says, yet not distressed. When I read that word distress, and I study that word distressed out, and by the way, I enjoy reading and using the 1828 dictionary, amen, to study my Bible with. And when you study out that word distressed, it kind of carries this meaning. It kind of carries the meaning of being hemmed in. Kind of carries the meaning of being pinned down, if you will, amen. And it's easy to feel like that even in the Christian life, amen. But the good news is this, we may be pressed, but think about this, that don't mean we've got to be pinned. Now, do we have any wrestling fans in the building tonight? Anybody like wrestling? If you're in Georgia, it may be wrestling, amen. Don't matter how you spell it, amen. You pronounce it by the state you live in. Nobody likes wrestling. Oh, a couple. A few of you do. You're honest anyhow. Amen. Well, I remember this. We've got some ladies that like it. Amen. Praise the Lord. And my dad's daughter's here tonight. And I love you. You remember when we were kids? Now, I hope y'all don't, when mom and dad come around, I hope y'all don't think any different about my mom nor my dad because of the story that I'm about to tell. But when we were children, and Jennifer can testify to this, this is truth. When we were children, I don't know, as from as young as when I could remember, all the way up probably until we were about 10 or 11, something like that. I don't know what got into my mom, but my mom loved watching wrestling. Now, this was before it turned into full-blown entertainment. I mean, this was back when WWF was, I mean, it was worth watching, amen. And people actually would get hurt sometimes, amen. But my mom, she liked wrestling. And she liked every Saturday night when WWF would come on, she'd tell everybody, don't matter what you're doing or what you're watching, we're turning on the TV and we're going to watch wrestling. Now, she had some favorite wrestlers. And it's probably because she's from Michigan. There was these two brothers. It was called tag team wrestling, and these two brothers were called the Steiner brothers. They graduated from the University of Michigan, and they wore the red and the yellow and the blue, and they supported the Wolverines and everything. Well, those were my mom's favorite wrestlers. I mean, she would get excited whenever they would wrestle. If they made it to a championship, I mean, she'd pop the biggest bowl of popcorn, and she'd get her Pepsi out, and don't you dare get between her and the television. Amen. Because there's going to be a knockout right there in the living room if you got between her and the television. She loved watching wrestling when we were kids. Well, I remember this. I remember one year, Jennifer, I don't know if you'll remember this or not, but the Steiner brothers were coming to Vanguard High School, one of the largest public high schools in our county. And they announced it and they started selling tickets. I mean, it was going to be a big deal. And the Steiner brothers was going to be one of the main events that night. My mom, she told my dad, she said, I don't know what you have planned on that Saturday night. I don't know what anybody else is doing, but you're going to clear the calendar and you're going to buy us tickets and our family's going to go watch wrestling on Saturday night. Now, don't think that my dad's a compromiser or anything. He's just like all of us other men. He wanted to keep her happy. Amen. And so he cleared his calendar like she told him to. And we got tickets. I don't even know what they cost. We paid money to go sit on metal folding chairs. Amen. We went down there and the Steiner brothers, the main event came on. I don't have a clue who the world they were wrestling against, who their opponents were. But I know this. I know my mom loved the Steiner brothers. Amen. And I think about this. I think about in the Christian life, I'm getting back to wrestling in a minute, but our churches are full of people who've been knocked down. They're full of people who've been pressed. They're full of people that feel like I'm about to get pinned. I'm about to get hemmed in and I don't know what I'm going to do. Amen. Well, I remember that Saturday night, we go down there to Vanguard High School and the main event came up and the Steiner brothers are going to be tag teaming against these other two goofballs. And my mom got so excited about it. Amen. She got so excited. You know, it's all, I hope this don't bother y'all, but it's rigged. It's all rigged. Amen. They already know who's going to win, who's going to lose. And they do what they do to rake in the money and get you to watch and all that. Amen. I didn't have the heart to tell mom that. My dad did. He said, this is stupid. Amen. It's all fake. But when the Steiner brothers come up, amen, the opponents would get one of the brothers pinned down and my mom would stand up and she'd start slapping that metal seat and she'd say, get up, get up, get up. I mean, she'd act like a fool. Amen. Just a screaming at them guys. Well, I'm here to tell you, in the living room watching on Saturday night, she did the same thing. And I'm thinking, mom, they can't hear you. You're not doing a lick of good, amen. But you know, she was encouraging them. She'd tell them, you know, Hayden, Andrew, come here. For some of y'all don't watch wrestling, don't have a clue what I'm talking about. My boys do it every day. We've got WWF at our house, amen, upstairs in their bedroom. If you're in the living room or in the kitchen eating or something, and all of a sudden it feels like an earthquake and sounds like a bomb went off, don't be alarmed. It's just the boys. They're wrestling, amen. Sometimes it breaks out into full-blown fight, amen. Mixed mark, you name it, amen. It's a free-for-all at Stanley House. Come up here, boys, so they can see. And here's what it means to be pinned, all right? Hayden, you're the small one, so you get on the ground, okay? You know the routine. Your little brother does this to you all the time, amen. Come closer over here to where these folks can see, all right? Lay this way, all right? All right, so in wrestling, here's what has to happen. In order for you to win the match, I'm talking about in the fake WWF. I don't know nothing about college wrestling because that's boring. But in WWF wrestling, what happens is you get your opponent on the ground, and as long as his shoulders are touching the mat, the referee begins to count. And if he slaps the mat three times, the match is over, and whoever pinned wins. So get him down. Pin him. All right, do it like you do at home. Grab his leg. Hayden, try to get out of it. Try to get out of it. Amen. All right, now think about this. As this is taking place, okay, all right, there's a spiritual struggle that takes place just like this in our lives. Amen. You're trying to live for God, and it's like Satan and the world and your wife and everybody else is trying to pin you down. Amen. And if you're not careful, here's what happens. Normally, the longer the match goes on, the more wore out your opponent makes you. And that's when you begin to lose the match. Because why? Because you give up hope. You give up fight. You say, I don't have the strength to go on. Amen. And so pin them, all right? Pin them. All right, Hayden, quit fighting. Let them pin you. Let them pin you. All right? Get them. Y'all ain't wrestling like I showed you how to wrestle at home. But you get the point. Both of his shoulders have to be on the mat. And then the referee, he slaps the mat three times. Brother Bradley, you following me? You look bored tonight. Huh? Are you still upset because he said you weren't handsome? Okay. Okay. All right. Amen. All right. Y'all go sit down right there. I'm not done with you yet. But notice what the Bible says. Verse number 8, the Bible says, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. You know what would happen sometimes? My mama would watch those Steiner brothers. And one of them would get pinned down. And here's the crowds out there, they're smacking their metal chairs and they're shouting, get up, get up, get up. And you know what? Though you're not supposed to do it, Brother Jesse, it's against the rules. Every now and then, one of those brothers realizes if I don't do something, he's going to get pinned. So he'd get in the ring and he'd go and kick the snot out of the opponent and throw him over the ropes and the referee'd get on to him, but he'd say, I don't care. That's my brother. And I don't want my brother to get thrown out. I don't want my brother to get pinned. I don't want my brother to get beat. Can I tell you something? When I read the book of Hebrews in chapter number 11, I don't know everything that's taking place in heaven right now, but I believe that if they could, those heroes of the faith that we read about in Hebrews chapter number 11, when it seems like Satan gets us pinned and Satan gets us hemmed in and Satan has us just about defeated, I believe that if they could, the heroes of the faith and the saints in heaven would lean over the banister of heaven and they'd say, get up, get up, get up. Don't let them pin you. Don't let them get you down. Get up, amen. Get up. Get back up again. again. And you say, but wait a minute, preacher, I've been knocked down so many times, I'm getting tired of getting back up. Can I say something? Listen, just keep on getting back up anyway, amen. Just keep on getting back up again. But preacher, I feel like Satan's after me, amen. Hey, can I tell you something? If he's after you, that means you got the lead. Just keep on going, amen. Don't quit, don't stop, don't slow down. Just keep on going, amen. You may be troubled, but I'm here to tell you, you are not in distress. Our churches are full of people. Listen, they've gotten knocked down and people have been pressed and the devil's knocked them down and everybody and everything around them's knocked them down. Can I say, there may be some preachers here tonight that come to Landmark Baptist Church to try to get some oil poured in their wounds. Amen. They've been hurt spiritually in a church. They've been hurt on the mission field, whatever it may be. Can I say something, church? Hey, be an encouragement to them. Don't be a critic to them and say, well, what in the world do you do to have to come back here? But be an encourager. Say, get back up and go again. Keep on going, amen. Preacher, I want you to know, listen, one of your biggest fans, I'm one of your biggest fans. And here's what I pray on a regular basis, preacher. I pray, God, please help preacher to keep on going. Give him strength just to keep on going. You say, well, he don't preach all the time and he don't do like he used to do. No, but I tell you what, he's still an encourager to those of us that can, to those of us that do, amen. Keep encouraging the brethren, amen. Keep on telling them, listen, you may have been knocked down. Listen, but you're not knocked out. Keep on going. Keep on going. I think about this. About 4 years ago, I got discouraged. And this is going to happen. I'm sure it's going to happen to you because talking to preacher, it's happened to him before too when he would tell us stories about the early days in ministry. We got to where up there at Countryside, we grew and grew and grew. And I'm not talking about several thousand or 100. I'm talking about we'd get up to 140, 150. We'd have big days of 240 to 300. And I got to a place, listen, if you're a bus worker, a Sunday school teacher, a college student, you're on staff here at the church, whatever it may be, listen, you're going to get to a place where you feel like I just plateaued out. You're going to get discouraged. And perhaps the devil's going to tell you, you've done all you can do now. You may as well look for another place. I got that way. I got to where I got discouraged, preacher. And I thought, maybe God's done with me here. Maybe he's asked some, I mean, not seeing very many saved like we used to, and we plateaued out in attendance, and the buses, I mean, it just felt like we'd done all we could do here. I didn't go looking for something, but I got a phone call one day. A church up northeast Georgia called me. Another preacher that I know gave him my phone number without me knowing. Their pastor was retiring. They just built a new 300-seat auditorium. Church was just 10 years old, outside of Atlanta. I mean, you talk about a well to draw from, people. They called and they said, Brother Stanley, we got your phone number and we've been watching you and we've been listening to you and we want you to come candidate. I said, I don't even know you, never heard of you. I don't even know how you know me. Well, they began to talk. They said, listen, we can give you a salary. I said, I don't even want to know about money. But you know what I did? I began to question. Well, maybe this is God closing the door here and he's opening that door there. We went as far as Tammy and I get in the car one day on a Friday, and we drove 5 hours up there just to look at the church. Nobody knew we were coming. We didn't go to meet. Just to look around, see the area. Boy, it was beautiful. It was nice. Beautiful houses, beautiful church. Facilities paid, brand new facilities paid for. Brand new 15-passenger vans, brand new buses. I mean, brand new. And I'm thinking, good night. So I told Tammy, I said, we need to start praying. We started praying. We were having a Bible conference at our church. Nobody knew this. No, we never told a soul. But I thought, you know, I'm hemmed in. There's nothing I can do here. Well, I began to pray and I said, Lord, I said, during this Bible conference, would you just make it plain as day? Would you just make it a plain no or a plain yes? No, you don't want me to leave, or yes, you want me to go. God, I'm done. You got to make it real plain. There was 11 preachers that preached that Bible conference. The very first preacher got up and I wrote in the fly leaf of my Bible, no. But I told you, I'm done. I said, well, God, maybe, you know, I could be misreading this thing. The next preacher got up, never knew what I was going through, never knew how I'd been praying, and God just said no. 10 times God said no, made it plain. That night we went home, the second to last night we went home, and I sat down with Tammy and began to talk. And I said, are you willing to follow me? She said, I'm willing to go anywhere you lead me as long as you can promise me you're following God. The next night we went to church, and Brother Terrell Hopkins got up to preach and had no clue how we'd been praying, what we'd been seeking the Lord about. Long story short, I thought the people had given up on me. I thought that I'd plateaued out. I thought that I'd been hemmed in and there was no more I could do, Brother James. I thought, I've lost my effectiveness. He got up and preached that night. And Tammy and I got up together and went to the altar. Next thing we know, there's about 80 people gathered around us praying. It's our church. And her and I was weeping. The preacher, I mean, Brother Hopkins just got done preaching. The Holy Spirit put an exclamation mark. No. We're on the altar weeping. Did I mention that that following Sunday I was supposed to go preach? This was Thursday night. Following Sunday, I'm supposed to be up there in Northeast Atlanta to preach at this church. Tammy looked at me. As we're on the altar, she said, what are we going to do now? I said, there's only one thing I can do. I got to call them and tell them I'm not even going to come preach. What I'm saying is, listen, it happens to all of us. We get discouraged and we feel like we get hemmed in. It feels like we get pinned down. Feel like we lost our effectiveness. You know what? That Thursday night we went home, and I know Miss Sherry's more spiritual like than you, just like all preachers' wives are at times. We went home and sat on the couch. And here's what, we were weeping about till about 1 o'clock in the morning that night, Thursday night. And we're talking about things, and I said, well, you know, God's made it plain we've got to stay, but I said, I'm going to have to make some changes, do some things different. And she'd been asking me for a few weeks, what is wrong in the ministry? What is wrong in your heart as far as what do you see as far as why we're plateauing, why we can't do this, and why it seems like things have kind of slowed down? And that Thursday night, about 1 o'clock, she looked at me and she said, have you ever thought about something? Because here's what I was doing. I was blaming on everybody else. If he'd do a little more, you know, it'd be easier. And, you know, if they would come to church more often, you know, that'd encourage me. And if they would give, I know they can give if they give a little more. And, you know, I know he's got his license. He could drive the bus and that would help me. And she looked at me and she said, have you ever thought about this? Maybe you're just unthankful. Maybe the problem is you. You're just ungrateful for what you do have. You haven't taken the time to thank God for those that are doing something, for those that are giving, for those that are going, and all you're doing is looking at everybody that isn't. She said, maybe the problem's you. You know what? Sometimes when we get hemmed in, it's not everybody else that does it, but sometimes it's we that do it to ourselves. Amen? I'm going to hurry. I want to be done. Let me give you a second thing, and I'm just going to rush through this, okay? Notice this. Notice the Bible goes on. The Bible says, we're perplexed. The Bible says we're troubled on every side, yet not in distress. We are perplexed, but not in despair. That word perplexed, listen, think about this, to not know what to do. I think everybody during COVID has come to that place. We don't know what to do. Don't know what to do. Don't know when to do it. Are you with me? Yep, you feel that? I mean, you just go to the grocery store. You don't know how to act. You don't know who to talk to, what to touch, what not to touch. Are you with me? Yeah. To be troubled. Not knowing. And then that word, to be in despair, means not to be without help. Now I want you to think, I need some help. You boys, Vercellus boys, come here. Andrew, you go sit down with your mom. I'm done with you. You boys come up here real quick, all right? Y'all like the Gators, don't you? Praise the Lord. Amen. All right? Y'all are the defensive line. Line up right here. All right? Here's the running back. He has the ball. All right? Listen, what is the job of the defensive line? To stop him, amen. They're the devil tonight. They're the world. They're the flesh, amen. All right? Here's you and I, all right? Trying to live for God, trying to do something for the Lord. I mean, as small and minute as you may think that you and your life and your ministry is, you're just trying to do something for the Lord. Now, he has the ball. And what is your job? What are you not allowed to let him do? Don't let him pass you. Hike. Y'all make one poor illustration. Come on, line up. Good night. All right? Act like this is Alabama, okay? Not Kentucky, all right? Hayden, run through there. Try to break the line. Try to get through to the other side. Whatever you got to do, just go. Just go. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Oh, yeah. Now you get some help. All right, stop for just a minute. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. Now, when I think about this, that means this. There's nowhere to go and no way I can get there, but I got to find a way. I just got to find a way. You know, in our Christian life, we get that way, don't we? We get to where we feel like, man, I just can't get anywhere. I can't gain any traction. I can't accomplish anything. What do? You just keep on going and finding a way. Keep going, Hayden. Keep going. Keep going. You say, but preacher, I get tired and I get worn out. I know. All of us do, don't we? Think about it. Pastor Carter and Miss Carter, 50 years. Aren't you glad that they kept going? I mean, obstacle after obstacle after obstacle, but what'd they do? They were just determined to find a way. How was that? Because they believed that God was going to make a way. Now, you guys come here for a minute. Now, listen. Don't be like the Gators were Saturday and miss calling plays, okay? You're going to go over the top of them. All right? All right? So here they are. There's a wall in front of them. Spiritually, there's the world, there's the flesh, there's sin. You just name it. There's your wife, there's your husband, there's your mother-in-law, whatever it may be. And everything's out against you. And there's no way to get through, amen. What do you got to do? You just got to find a way even when there isn't a way. Hike. Y'all have insurance? Y'all be seated. What'd he do? He found a way. He was outnumbered. He was outsized. But he found a way. Can I remind you, as Christians, we're outnumbered. We're in the minority as far as the world's concerned. But can I remind you that, listen, one plus God is always the majority. Always. One plus the Lord. Listen, the Lord is a way maker. Paul's saying if you're pressed, don't get pinned. If it seems as though you can't get through, go through anyway. Over in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 43. Isaiah 43, I'm going to read just a handful of verses. Verse number 15. Jesus, the Bible records this of the Lord. The Bible says, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea, and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariots and horse and army and power. They shall lie down together and shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as tow. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Can I just say this to you and make application? God's dealing with the children of Israel in that passage of Scripture. But can I say this? The same God that spoke that to the children of Israel is able to make a way for you and I when it seems like there is no way. Preacher, I feel like I'm getting pinned. I feel like I'm hemmed in and there's nothing I can do. Get up. Get back up. Keep getting back up. Preacher, I feel like there's just no way. Find a way. Amen. Walk with God and trust God and trust Him to make a way. Amen. Thirdly, and I close with this. The Bible says there in verse number 8, the Bible says we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. I don't know about you, but when I read that word, the phrase, we're not forsaken, I get encouraged, amen. Hey, friends may forsake you, family may forsake you. Listen, those closest to you may forsake you, but I'm glad that I've got a promise in the Word of God that He will never leave me nor forsake me, amen. You may feel like you've been forsaken, but I'm here to tell you, you may feel like you've been persecuted, but you are not. If you're saved tonight, listen, you have not been forsaken. You may feel like you've been fallen behind, but I've got good news for you. You ain't been left behind. Amen. Yeah. Amen. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's what the Lord says to us. If you've been knocked down tonight, get back up. How many college boy preachers we got? Raise your hand. Can I say this? There's going to be time How many again? Raise your hand if you're a preacher in college. There's going to be times when you're going to feel like quitting, feel like you're going to give up, feel like you can't pay the bill and you can't go on. Listen, just keep on going. Get back up. Keep on doing it. Amen. You say, preacher, I feel like I've been forsaken. No, you know what I found out? I found out that in some of my darkest days in Bible college, that's when God proved himself most to me. I'm glad I didn't forsake him. Amen. I'm glad I didn't give up and quit on God. I'm glad I kept on going. I think about it, my last year of college. Last year of college, Andrew was born. His lungs collapsed. Both of his lungs collapsed the first night he was born. The doctor said, we don't know if he's going to live or if he's going to die. We'd ask the doctors for about 7 days, is he going to live? And they'd say, it's up to him. That's not what you want to hear from the doctor. You don't want the doctor to tell you that. But praise the Lord, amen. I remember it was a Tuesday night. Dr. Carter and my dad came in, and they said, we want to go in and pray with them. Let's go in. And I remember I told them, I said, they'll only let two in at a time. And they said, but wait a minute, they'll let preachers in, won't they? I said, yes, sir. And they said, well, I'm a preacher. My dad said, I'm a preacher. They looked at me, and they said, aren't you a preacher? I said, yes, sir. Let's go in. So we walked in that NICU unit, and there laid little Andrew, amen, in pitiful shape. And we got around him, and Dad and Dr. Carter laid their hands on him, began to pray and pray for God's will to be done. And I'm not trying to be spooky or anything, but I'm here to tell you, I believe that night, in that moment, as they were praying, God was at work, amen. And the next day, I went home that night to go to school. The next day, I was on the way back to the hospital the afternoon after school. And Tammy called me. She said, you got the car seat. I said, I don't need the car seat. She said, yeah, we need a car seat. And I said, no, you don't have it to have a car seat. You take the baby home. Didn't you hear the doctors? She said, no, they're sending them home. I said, what do you mean they're sending them home? They said there's nothing wrong with them. He can go home. Night before we prayed, but I'm here to tell you, listen, those 7, 8, 9 days in the Ronald McDonald House, not knowing if your boy's going to live or die, and you say to him, but God, I'm a preacher, but God, I'm training for ministry, but God, we've given our lives to you, God. Can I tell you, he didn't forsake me. Man, he gave me verses out of the Bible during those cold, dark, lonely nights, amen. God spoke to me. What'd he say? He said, get up, keep going. But God, it don't seem like there's a way. I'll make a way. Just keep trusting me. Keep following me. And then I think about this. But Lord, I feel like everybody's up against me and I'm forsaking me. I'm glad God said, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. I think about this. I close with this illustration. I told you I just got back from Mexico in July. There was a man, a young man, 20, I believe he's 26 years old, Brother Emmy. Brother Emmy had been training, been through Bible Institute. His dad was a pastor. And he'd been in Bible Institute. And the goal was one day he'd take his dad's work and then they'd go out and plant more works. About a year and a half ago, Emmy's dad, they had a large church for their area, ran about 200, planting other churches. And one day, about 2 years ago, his dad came home, told his wife, said, I'm done with you. Come to find out he'd been messing around with one of the women in the church, another man's wife, about destroyed the church. And he said, by the way, I'm leaving you, but I'm not leaving the church. I'm going to keep pastoring. Split the church. Half the church felt sympathetic and thought maybe his wife had been doing him wrong. So part of the church wanted him to stay. Part of them knew he had to go. About split the church. Has 7 siblings. Emmy's the oldest. Brother Williams, the missionary, said, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to work with you and I'm going to help you, but we're going to have to keep training you and we're going to have to set a date that if the church wants to vote on you, they'll have to do that, but I'll help you out. Well, they ended up calling him to be pastor after about a year and a half. Then he got married. Well, he got married just before they called him. Then he got pregnant, had a baby. Baby's in the womb, and the doctor said we're concerned that the baby may be born with his stomach outside of his body. And if that happens, they even went as far as saying maybe you should abort the pregnancy. And they said, no, we'll just trust God. Well, they had the baby was born, and Everything was like the doctor said, but they said, we've got to do surgery, and they began to get hopeful. If we do the surgery, the baby will live. The week that we were doing the conference, Brother Emmy was supposed to lead the singing that whole week. Brother Bill told me, I'd known him for several years before, knew his whole family. And Brother Bill had told me, our missionary said, now Brother Emmy's not going to be here, so we're going to have to make some changes. So we're preparing for Monday night. About right at 7 o'clock when service is supposed to come, here comes Emmy walking in the back door with a smile on his face. And he comes walking up to the platform, and me and Brother Bill are sitting on the platform, and Brother Bill said, what in the world's he doing here? And he walked up on the platform, and they're talking in Spanish, and they could have been talking bad about me for all I know. I don't have a clue. But Brother Bill asked him, said, how'd you get here? He said, I walked. He said, you walked? Where's your wife and the baby? The boy got out of the hospital this morning. My wife and my mom is at home taking care of them. Preacher, I couldn't miss this meeting. Said, I need this spiritually. I need the encouragement. I need the help. I need the challenge of the preaching the Word of God. Emmy, listen, had every reason to quit. He spiritually, he'd been knocked down, pinned down. Looked as though there was no way. Think about it. His dad, his mentor, his hero, his pastor walked out on all of them. Church split. Half the church didn't want him, didn't want anything to do with him. Gets married, going to serve God, and the baby, the doctors say, just abort the baby, no sense. But what'd he do? He just kept getting up, kept getting up, kept getting up. The last night, on Friday night of that meeting, nobody, me and Brother Bill didn't know about it, but about 75 people came in. They told Brother Bill, we're going to have a special choir this night. It was his church. They said, man, if you could go through all you've been through with your baby and your dad and all that, and they were trying to discourage them, and then you're going to walk 6 miles by foot to get to this meeting? If it's important enough for you to be here, we want to be here to support you. Man, that was one of the sweetest services. You know what? Brother Emmy didn't. He was knocked down, but he wasn't knocked out. Amen. I don't know about you, but I hadn't been through anything like he'd been through. And I look at young men, 26 years old, been through what he'd been through. If he could get up, I can get back up. Amen. If God hadn't forsaken him, he ain't going to forsake me. I mean, think about it. Listen, if he could press on, I can press on. Right. And I say this to you tonight, so can you. You may be knocked down tonight, but listen, you're not knocked out. Get back up again. Look around, find somebody that's been out of church. Look for somebody that somebody else has been knocked down, and go try to be encouragement to them. Encourage them, get up, keep going. Hey, you've got a new pastor, and I know it's honeymoon time right now with the church and the pastor, and y'all love, I know you do. But there's going to be times when he feels like he's been knocked down. There's going to be times when his family feels like there's no way, we can't go on. Encourage him. Get up, preacher. Keep going, preacher. We're with you, preacher. Preacher, we're not forsaken, preacher. Just keep on. Would you stand to your feet with your heads bowed? I didn't preach a salvation message tonight, but I want you to know this, that you may come to church tonight and the devil told you there's no hope for you. You can't be saved. You done gone too far. But I want you to know tonight, listen, Jesus loves you and Jesus died for you. And if Jesus is dealing with your heart about salvation tonight, you can be saved. It's not too late. You haven't gone too far. I'd encourage you, if that's you, why don't you find a way out of your seat and get on an altar, and somebody take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Christian, maybe you're here tonight and you feel like you've been knocked down. Why don't you get on an altar and say, God, help me to give me the strength, the courage to get back up, keep getting up. Preacher, I come to church tonight feeling like I've been forsaken, but maybe tonight the Holy Spirit of God has spoken to your heart and revealed to you you're not alone. Why don't you get on an altar and say, God, thank you for not forsaking me. God, help me not to walk out and forsake you. Help me to keep faithful and keep walking with you. Amen. Father, I pray that you take the message and use it for your glory. God, I pray that your people would get help. Lost sinners would get saved. We pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
All to Jesus I surrender all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence.
You know that if you die tonight, that heaven is home. Why not come tonight and get saved?
I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Would you bow your heads with me tonight? It's a good message for us. If you're here and you've been feeling that way, like you just knocked down, why don't you come talk to the Lord about it? Why don't you give it to Him? If you're here and you're not saved, as Brother Chad said, why don't you step out and walk an aisle? The invitation is an invitation to you to come and receive Jesus as your Savior. Maybe you're here and you've not been baptized. We'd love to take time tonight to let you join the church through baptism. Whatever God's spoken to your heart about tonight, why don't you step out and come?
All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Amen. That's a good message for us tonight. Amen.
Amen.